Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man, with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back, hour number two here on this getaway Friday night, January the 16th, 2026, 14 minutes past the hour, and Matt Morgan's along with me. Matt, what's coming up tonight at 10 o'clock?
Tonight we are going to go over the coaching carousel, talk about the playoffs as, their first round of the playoffs is over. So there's that, and there's some national politics I wanted to talk about, and might get into the local stuff if there's time.
You know what's interesting? We talked about the tabloids in hour number one, but boy, I ticked somebody off today.
I think it's nice.
Well, you know, it's just one of those things. It happens from time to time. You just tick people off. And you know, it's emblematic of what I was saying about the person earlier today, and, you know, I don't even know what to say about that. You try. By the way, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, maybe some people are just having a bad day.
I mean, I don't know. Just, they played, like, right into the comments. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's what I say. Sometimes it just doesn't. You don't understand what you're dealing with. But, you know, I'm unchanged in my feelings toward that person.
I think their feelings are probably unchanged as well. They just as of currently, there's a bit of a thing going. There's a bit of a thing they got.
Well, there you go. Ay, ay, ay. I see, here's what I think happens. I don't realize that I can hurt people's feelings. And apparently sometimes I do.
You'll have that.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, I just want to tell Abby I enjoy her.
Listen. How do you know it's her?
I keep trying to... I don't know what it is, shame you or something, and to try and be nicer to that woman. I just think you have problems.
I do. Clearly, I have problems. Listen. What did I
say? Landefeld's no longer in business. You could go to...
I interviewed Dr. Landefeld, by the way.
You have went to him?
No, I haven't went to him. I interviewed him. He came to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tell you all about his drug business and stuff.
We got into it. I'll tell you. We got into it. I interviewed him. Yes, I go way back. I go back further than people think. But
is Landefeld still?
No, he's no longer with us. He's went on to his reward.
I heard Dr. Hussein passed away too.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, I'll tell you what's his? I can't remember his. There's another old doctor still out there. I see him every so often. But so you really think? Because God knows I don't want to be rude to anybody. God knows that's my first goal in life. So you think I'm rude to certain folks?
You better watch it because the tabloids might start that rumor about you too that you're rude.
Well, the tabloids love me,
I don't think you're rude. In some ways, I just think you have a carefree attitude maybe about it, and she probably thinks that. More caring. I don't know.
It's here's what happens. I don't think I've ever lost a minute's sleep over anything that her and I have ever discussed. But I think she has. And I think that's the problem. I think I don't realize how much it bothers her. And she.
I think she feels just like you. She doesn't. I bet she ain't losing an ounce of sleep over you.
Listen.
Her husband wouldn't let her have time to sleep. I mean, you got to go home, and what, you got a cat or something that can
keep
you company when she goes home? She's got a husband.
Right!
Yeah, so she don't have time to feel, sorry about.
Okay. Well, I'm not going to tell you how I know different, but
Well, tell me. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, I hear from the woman. And sometimes, I certainly get the impression or the inkling that she's not happy.
Well, some people are not happy in life.
I'm not, no, she's not happy with me, is what I'm saying. Huh?
I wonder how her and hubby get along.
Well, I'm wonderful, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know. I don't ask about those things, but
maybe I ought to give her my phone number.
Well,
I'm 64, be 65 this year, and I ain't never been married yet, so.
Well, there's always a first.
Help me out.
You know, and see, right there was a joke I could have went to, but I know that she would have been.
I when I said that, too.
I could have went in, but I'm holding back because, see, I'm trying to be nice. And that should show the kindness of me. Well, did you hear the whole tabloid story earlier?
Yeah.
So what do you make of that?
Strange.
It is, but, you know, I don't know. They have a thing for me.
I didn't know. Do they still sell tabloids anymore on the stands?
A few. Yeah, they're still out there. They're always about the Royals now, though. They got a thing for the Royals, too.
Oh, yeah, I get tired of that. I mean, it's nice that they have the royal family, but people over in Britain take it, you know, to the extremes. You know, that family years ago has caused your people some pain and suffering. So, you know, I don't know about that. You know, was that all right? But
I don't know. It's the Royals are an interesting thing to me. I'm not sure why they're so popular, but boy, they sell magazines.
You know their real last name's not Spencer.
Oh no, what is it?
I forget what it is, but they came up with Spencer because the name sounded. They thought their name would not. People would take a little bit of offense to something. I don't know.
Well, you know what's interesting? I guess this is what's most fascinating to me about tabloid stories in general, is that I have had off-the-record conversations in my career with so many people that I could, if I just decided that those were no longer off-the-record and I just decided, well, I'm going to tell what I know, I could destroy so many lives, I could make people look so horrible and be absolute.
You make some money doing it, too.
Well, but I could be absolutely true in what I'm saying. They couldn't do a thing about it. And you know what's so sad about this? I mean, this story's about Weslyn Davis. I mean, she obviously gave them the private conversation. But what's silly about that, I had a complete off-the-record conversation with Weslyn Davis at one point in which she told me things that would do damage to her. And I will never, she can attack me all day long. I'll never talk about those things because that's not what you do. That's not what, you know, I don't quite understand that.
Well, some people just don't have character.
Yeah, but I don't know what I.
If you steal something, how do you feel good about that? You look around your house and everything you got, you freaking stolen. Now, how can you really feel good about yourself?
Well, I just don't understand why you would have a whole meeting with somebody and tell them off-the-record stuff that could do damage to you, and then you turn on them. I don't quite understand that. Now, that's emblematic of somebody else's character. I won't do that. You know, so, you know.
I've heard you say that many times.
And I won't. I you can.
Except Jimmy Crumb.
Well, he's dead.
You raked Jimmy Crumb over the coals.
Yeah, but you know what? That wasn't an off-the-record conversation. Jimmy Crumb and I didn't have an off-the-record. That was just an evening out on the town with Jimmy Crumb. And I guarantee you this. If you had an evening out on the town with Jimmy Crumb, you'd feel the same way I did.
But that was after he died, too.
Well, I think I'd have liked it better after he died if I'd have went out on the town with him. He was a cantankerous man. He was just God almighty.
There's something I wanted to ask you about if you heard about it.
Oh, go ahead.
Trump has got him his Nobel Peace Prize now.
I heard that the woman gave him the Nobel Peace Prize, yes.
Yeah, she comes to the White House, I guess.
Oh, God bless her.
And so he finally goes where they had a picture of him on the news programs, and boy, he just looked so happy.
Well, it is fun to hold those things. You know, when I was at Pat Carroll's house on Cape Cod, she let me hold her Emmy.
Oh.
You know, and maybe I'll send that picture out and say, Emmy winner Scott Spears, and I'm there with the Emmy Award.
Yeah, you got a picture of that?
I do.
Send it to the tabloid.
Darn right. Emmy winner Scott Spears right here.
Front page.
You know what? Here's how wonderful a woman Pat Carroll was. She took us into her office. She didn't have a big place out there on Cape Cod because she'd retired out there. And she took us in, and she had a Tony Award. She had an Emmy Award. She had some Critics' Choice Awards. She had some awards. And she was, I think, close to 90 at that point. So she wanted to go sit back down. And I said, I forget how it came about, but I said, it was something like, Pat, you know, wow, I've never seen an Emmy. Because it was right there on the shelf. I said, I've never really seen an Emmy. And she said, grab it, take a picture with it. And I said, really? And she goes, that's what it's there for. Go ahead. That's how wonderful a woman she was. I mean, she was just a wonderful woman.
Do you think at 90 when she was alive, she had much money? Or?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and Phil Donahue, if you look at the pictures of me in Phil Donahue's apartment, I mean, he's got Emmys all on top of his desk. I don't know how many he had, but he had Emmys all. But he wasn't even pretending about it. He used to do a joke in the, clearly this is not true because they were up on his desk in his office. But he used to say, people would say, well, Phil, have you won an Emmy? And he said, well, yes, I have, but I'm not pretentious about it at all, but it is sitting right in the doorway when you come in the house. I show it to everybody. I take it to all my friends.
But he didn't really have it.
No, it was up on his, they were up on his desk.
Can't help with somebody displaying, you know, that.
No, but there is a picture of me with an Emmy Award, so maybe I'll just put that out there. Emmy Award winner Scott Spears. Here's the picture of me with an Emmy. Dispute it.
Yep, maybe they'll print it.
You got it. Thanks.
Yep.
All right. Phone line 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944.
What are you going to do if you break the woman's Emmy?
I wasn't going to drop it.
What if you did?
I know the Emmy is heavy, though.
Well, I can imagine. It's a good trophy. Good built trophy.
But she understood that somebody who had never won an Emmy, you know, that it's cool to see an Emmy because you see it on television.
Which one is the Emmy?
The Emmy is the television award. That's the one with the big pedestal and the person holding the globe.
So what's the other one you said she won?
The Tony.
I thought that was the dude. Like the
No, that's the Oscar. She didn't win the Oscar.
Okay.
But the Tony is kind of like a coin, but a big coin.
Oh. I don't know. I think the... I don't know. That's neat.
Yeah, it was fun. She just grab it. Grab it. Hey, that's why it's there. Take a picture with it.
That'd be pretty cool.
She was fun. She's a fun lady. Pat Carroll. Gone.
Is she the one that played as Ursula?
Ursula, yeah. Good lady.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's good. See, you asked me not too long ago where my Associated Press Award was. I really don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't know.
You've done stashed it away somewhere.
Well, I think I probably know where it is, but I'm not sure.
If I had an AP award, it'd be on my wall somewhere or something.
Well, you think that. But, you know, you really... That comes off a little pretentious.
Well, I mean, not everybody's got an AP award. I think I'd flex it.
Nah. I told you, I didn't even go to the ceremony.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I probably wouldn't have gone to the ceremony either. I would have assumed, like, look, I'm not gonna win that thing.
No, but boy, then, I forget how I found out. I think somebody...
You were nominated?
No, I knew I was nominated. Because they invite you to the award show.
Yeah.
No, I knew I was nominated. I just didn't think there was any chance that I would win. So, why go? You know, it's nice to be nominated. Good. I could say Associated Press nominated, you know, journalist. But I think then the winners came out, like, that week. And I wonder who did win some of these. Oh, there, I won the award. Oh. And then, like, the next week it came in the mail. So, there it was.
Isn't that nice?
It is nice, because no matter what, you can't take that away. And, you know, people can criticize you all day long, but can't take that away from you.
Well, I mean, I don't know. They can tell you it doesn't mean anything, I guess.
I didn't say that, but it does. If you say that, it does mean something. Because why are you even commenting on it?
Well, I don't know. Like I was talking to somebody at one point, and I mentioned, like, I referenced an AP article, and they were like, the AP, isn't that the one that Donald Trump kicked out of the White House because they were providing misinformation? I was like, that's not exactly what happened, but...
Well, that's what... And maybe that's why tabloids I don't really care about, because I realize so many people are misinformed at this point. Why am I going to try to straighten them out? I mean, what can you do?
Not your problem.
No, it's not my problem. If you want to think bad things, go ahead. I got a life to live. I don't have time to worry about the tabloids.
Better things to do.
Yeah, get a life. That's what I think. 740-383-9944. And it just, I think it's a bad look. I think you just look envious. You don't attack other people with false stories, or you don't attack people over and over for the same things. It's clear that you have some kind of agenda. Also, I don't think it's very prudent to make something up. I think it hurts your credibility. Just in every other aspect.
Well, yeah, I mean, get caught in one lie, I don't know if I can ever trust you again.
Right, so that's ultimately the problem. And you know you lied. See, it's not even do the people realize you. That's why you never go into the comment sections on anything. Because those people, God almighty, they don't know where they are half the time. I mean, half those people shouldn't have driver's license. So the problem then becomes, you know, you're misleading them. You know it's a lie. And so that's really where you should have the ethical problem. They don't know you're lying. They don't know you're misleading them, but you do. And that really says something bad about you.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's good.
And also, trying to purposely hurt people, I don't think is a good look. You know, that's why people do things like that. There's nobody I want to hurt. I don't have anybody that I need to knock down. I don't feel, you know, what's my job to knock people down? What is that?
I don't know. I mean, I do know that you don't swing down, you swing up.
That's right.
So, you know, if you're taking shots at somebody, what does that tell you?
That's right. That's right. So the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. And I look back at all the wonderful people who are gone. That's why I say nobody will ever have my career again in this town. Now, I don't know that anybody had it before, but I look back at the people. I mean, I've forgotten some of the big names. I mean, it's wonderful. It's been a wonderful career. You know, I don't know how it could have been any better.
Oh, you could have interviewed, like, every world leader or something.
No, but I mean, from Marion, Ohio, to do what I did, I don't know how it could have been any better. I mean, I had a Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright, on. I had Jesse Jackson on. I had Al Franken as a senator on. I had Phil. I did an interview with Phil Donahue from his penthouse.
Who's Jesse Jackson?
Big leader in the Democratic Party.
Oh.
Rainbow Coalition.
Every time I hear...
He ran for president.
Every time I hear Jesse Jackson, I think, like...
New Martin Luther King.
Well, that's pretty cool.
I interviewed the guy handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was shot.
The bodyguard?
Yes.
Or the...
The police officer. Yeah. I interviewed the guy you see in the Zapruder film, the Kennedy film.
That's the one I was talking about.
Leaping on the back of the limo. I interviewed him. They're all dead.
How does that guy feel?
Dead.
Well...
Oh, you mean Ben?
Yeah.
I don't remember. You have to listen to the
How
interview.
How did he feel?
I mean, I interviewed the first man to ever freeze somebody in cryogenics.
Cryogenics is a scam.
I interviewed, I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. Oh, Sam Shepard's son, Sam Ree Shepard. I interviewed F. Lee Bailey, who was Sam Shepard's lawyer and O.J. Simpson's lawyer. I interviewed Dr. Nicopoulos, who was Elvis Presley's doctor. You know, I mean, wonderful, wonderful life.
Isn't there like a whole theory that he killed Elvis?
Well, I interviewed him. I don't remember that coming up, but it might have.
But isn't there a theory?
I have kind of thing?
Is he the one who overdosed?
Well,
there are lots of them that overdosed, I guess, but...
I interviewed Martin Luther King... That's coming up Monday. I interviewed Martin Luther King Jr.'s lawyer, who helped him write the I Have a Dream speech.
What's his name?
Clarence Jones. So, I mean... Nobody's going to do that again.
Well, I mean, a lot of those people are...
Nobody did it before.
Well, I mean, a lot of those people...
That's what I'm saying. It's over. And I don't know... We've come to an age now where things are too fragmented. It was the right time, as I say, to come into this business. It was exactly the right time.
Well, I think the... Well, I guess the world itself hasn't gotten bigger, obviously. But the internet has gotten infinitely bigger.
Well, like I try to explain to people, when I came in, the people were still alive who were the stars at the beginning of television. And when television started in the 1950s, the audiences were enormous because you only had three channels. So even if you were the least watched thing on television, you probably had 30% of the country watching you. Now, the most popular thing on television probably doesn't have 10% of the country watching it. So that's why somebody like...
What percentage do you think like the Super Bowl or something like that?
It gets a big percentage, but it's not... See, the problem is it's not weekly. So, see, in those days...
If it was weekly, it probably wouldn't get...
Yeah, but in those days, somebody like Phyllis Diller, for example. Well, if Phyllis Diller's doing her show, and let's say it's in last place, which it probably was not a last place show, but let's say it's drawing 30% of the audience, 30% of America every week, and that's happening 52 weeks a year. A lot of people knew who Phyllis Diller was. So, that's what happens. But that's not the case anymore. It became too small. I interviewed Larry King. Interviewed Phil Donahue, interviewed Dick Cavett. You know, the titans of talk.
Talk's kind of gone downhill.
Yeah, those audiences don't exist anymore. Massive television audiences.
Well, apparently it might go through a whole evolution depending on...
I don't even know who the people are now. I don't even know who do you want? Who do you want to interview?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know whoever's big.
I don't know.
I think getting Taylor Swift on at this point, I think, would be a big interview.
But I mean, see, it's not even a comparison because, you know, I don't know who was the big star Jennifer Aniston. You're not going to get Jennifer Aniston because she's in the midst of her career. But like I said, in those days, you had people who had gigantic audiences that you could get because they weren't. But now that's gone because nobody ever had a gigantic audiences. So if somebody's in the twilight of their career, they didn't command a big audience. That's why Sam Donaldson is still a big get, because Sam Donaldson is one of the leftovers from the era of big audiences.
Well, there are like 400 channels or something stupid like that now.
I don't know. Different world. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. So, there we go.
I remember when one of my grandparents told me about how at I think it was midnight, the TV would play like the national anthem.
Go off.
And then it would shut off.
Right.
Or
right.
I guess it would become static, but same concept.
You know, I think of, like, Dick Van Dyke. I interviewed Dick Van Dyke. I forgot about that until the birthday recently. Then I went and found that interview in the archives.
You ought to put together some, like, best of shows.
You know, I don't... What? Because true crime is so popular. Now, I thought I could do that. I thought that would be interesting.
Why?
Because people like it. I don't know why it's a big thing.
I don't know how I feel about true crime.
Well, I know how people feel about it. They've got whole channels that run all day.
Yep.
And all night. So it must be, and the podcasts are very popular.
Well, there's also like no overhead. for
no, no, but for it, the it's got to be the subject matter, or why else are they all doing it?
Well, yeah, I mean, people like the murders for some reason.
But what I'm saying is, you can't go interview Jim Lovell today. He's dead.
I don't know who Jim Lovell is.
It's the guy's handcuffed to the Lee Harvey Oswald when he was shot.
Oh.
You can't go interview Clint Hill today, who was the Secret Service man who was on the back of the limo, because he's dead. You can't go interview F. Lee Bailey, who was Sam Shepard and O.J. Simpson's lawyer, because he's dead. I mean, you can't go interview those people anymore. You can't go interview Elvis's doctor. He's dead.
I think it was kind of sad to some, I mean, I don't know, to some extent, I guess, that when O.J. died, the first thing that anybody asked me was, do you think he did it?
Well, see, that's the thing.
I was like, well.
I don't know.
Man just died. We're already speculating. Once again.
Well, that'll always be the question, but I guess you have to say innocent, because that's what he was found in the murder trial. Yep. Or not guilty, I guess I should say.
Yeah.
But F. Lee Bailey laid out a very compelling argument for that, I thought.
If the glove does not fit, you must acquit.
That was Johnny Cochran's line, but
that's what did it.
Well, I think it was the prosecution allowing him to put the glove on.
Well, I think that was a dumb decision.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. So, you know, there's that.
I mean, I can fake struggle or put on a glove.
That's what he did.
Well, also, I mean, didn't it, like, he had to put on a glove to put on the glove because it was evidence?
Yes. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz if there's anything on your mind. We're always interested to hear from you. It's an interesting conversation to have.
You think OJ killed his wife?
I don't know.
Yep, I don't know. I think he's got better things to do.
I don't know. I really don't know about that whole thing. I don't know.
I don't know much about the actual story itself, but I think if I was
big thing at the time.
Well, I'm sure it was. I mean, I know about the whole like the Bronco chase, like slow speed Bronco chase where he was like threatening to shoot himself. OJ.
So how'd you like doing the show by yourself last week?
I wasn't prepared to do the show by myself, so I had to quickly throw together some extra stuff. I mean, it ended up being okay, I think. It was a little bit weird in the beginning.
Well, like I said, I tuned in, and I heard somebody say, I don't know if Scott's listening, but he can retire now.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Oh.
No, that's okay.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's what I told him. I told him that. I was like, you know, I'm sure Scott would like that. You know, he talks about retirement a lot.
Well, you know, you just get to a point.
You got, like, 20 years left.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
You could do it. Larry King did it.
I think he stayed around a little too long. Larry stayed a little too long.
Well, you know, people watched him.
Well, I don't think that's the measure, though. I don't think that's good.
People want to watch him.
I think it's don't stay at the fair too long. The Johnny Carson line, you know? When the train gets to the last stop, you get off. We used to play that at the top of the hour. I used to like that quote. That's Larry King. I really still don't know what that...
forever.
Yeah, right. He did this to his own line. I still don't really even know what that means, but
so he just like
it's very nice to say.
Did he like never retire, or did he like retire and come back?
He left CNN, and that was the big hubbub end of his career, you know, celebration when the train gets to the last stop, you get off. But then Aura TV came and made him a deal, and that's what he did for the rest of his life.
Well, offered him just like a bajillion dollars.
Well, he didn't want to retire.
Well, you'll have that.
You know. Who does? You think it's a good idea till you do it.
And then you're like, man.
Well, then you, first time there's a story, you think, oh, I got nowhere to go.
Nothing to do about that.
Yeah, I could go, but where am I going to talk about it at? So there is that. And that's, I think, what I would have. It's not hard to leave. It's hard to stay gone.
Well, you leave every week. You just, you leave.
No, no, I'm saying it's easy to decide you're going to do a final show. That's you can decide that. But the first time something happens that you want to come and talk about, and you've been able to do that all your life, and there's no place to go, that's when you realize there's a problem.
Well, I mean,
leaving is easy, staying gone's hard.
Who was the one guy? Was it Jack Parr? Is he the dude who told whoever that, like, if I'm ever, like, if you ever feel like I'm, like, I don't know, losing a step or however he said
Johnny
it?
Johnny Carson. Yeah. Tell me.
He never came back.
No, he did. He was the only one. Because the inclination is to come back.
Well, I don't think anybody likes doing nothing.
Well, no, it's just, it's when you love something and you enjoy doing it, it's hard to not want to come back to it at some point.
Then why'd you retire?
Because you don't want people to see you decline.
I don't know, everybody declines.
It's sad to watch the big prize fighter get knocked through the ropes the last time.
Watching Muhammad Ali get knocked around?
Yeah, you don't want to see that. And people always talk about that.
Well, I mean, there's a... Like, Mike Tyson has talked about it plenty of times. You know, him and, like, Mike Tyson were big friends. And he, like, after the whole fight, like, he called... Mike Tyson called up Muhammad Ali and was very upset that he let George Foreman beat on him. Did I say the wrong name?
I'm confused. What did you say?
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson called Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, they're friends. They were friends, I
and
guess.
And said...
He basically just was he was very upset that the fight went the way it did.
I don't think Mike Tyson would have been around when... He'd been very young. I don't think he would have had Muhammad Ali's phone number at that time.
I'm pretty sure him and Muhammad Ali were, like...
They might have became friends, but Mike... Friends. Ali was retired by the time Mike Tyson came around.
Maybe he just, like, watched the fight and was very upset with it then.
Well, that could have been.
But, I don't know, he loves to talk about that, how upsetting it was to watch Muhammad Ali lose that fight.
Well, he beat Foreman.
Well, I'm thinking of the wrong fight then. Who'd he lose to?
Larry Holmes.
Oh. Well.
But in any event,
George Foreman's a better
man. You want to talk about sports here. Muhammad Ali will always be the greatest athlete of all time. Because... Not because of record or anything like that. It's because of what he did, how he did it, and the...
He was really showman. He was, like, really... he had a lot of showmanship.
Yeah, but it's not even that. It's he was... The things he did... I mean, he was not only fighting racial injustice. He was not only changing his name, becoming a Muslim, in, when you certainly did not do that. He was... telling people what round he was going to knock him out in. He did it. He won the fights he wasn't supposed to win so many times. He was stripped of the world title at the height of his career for not going to Vietnam. I mean, the man did so many things throughout his career that were so significant that people will never be able to top that. You'll never have a sports personality be able to do that. And to the wide audience, again, because of the fragmented audience. You'll never have that many people paying attention to anything at one time.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of the showman, though. I mean, he would get out there and say things that, like, you know, I don't know, like, I can't even, like, I don't know, like, some... He's got all kinds of quotes. He would just get out there in front of the media and say, like I don't know, like, recite some kind of, like, poem he wrote and things like that. He's an interesting kind of fellow.
Yeah, he's very smart. It's all cerebral.
Well, it's, unfortunate.
That's unfortunate?
No, unfortunate how he went out. It wasn't great.
Well, but he's still in his later life, even and then the Parkinson's gets him.
Yeah, the Parkinson's.
And here, the most vocal, virile man in the world can't speak. Now, what a tragedy! But yet, then he becomes the spokesperson for that, and I'm done. The 96 Olympics, when he was the last one to run the flame over to the, light the Olympic torch. Unbelievable. With Parkinson's. And there he is.
Well, I think that's good.
You know, it was just that. That's the only Olympic moment I ever really remember. Because nobody knew. That was such a brilliant. Because Muhammad Ali apparently threw his Olympic medals into the lake because of the whole Vietnam War thing. He didn't care for America and the Olympics and all that, and felt the country had turned on him. And all when that Olympics in 96, I believe, were going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. So they decided, I don't know how long it went on, but it went on a long time, that this torch was going to be run all over the United States without ever going out until it was run into the Olympic Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia, and lit the Olympic torch. So the flame, everybody, I believe in every city, it passed through at some point, and they would have, everybody ran that thing at one point. I mean, it just, every celebrity, they went to a city where there was a notable person or a mayor or a whatever, somebody ran a portion with that torch, and everybody kept thinking, who's going to be the last person? Who's going to light the flame? And they're there in Atlanta in 96 in summer, and they run the torch in the building. I forget who's running it when they're in the building, and they run it up, and there's one final stretch to go. And even the announcers didn't know. One final stretch to go to the torch, to light the flame. And the torch, and out of the darkness, it's Muhammad Ali at 60-something years old, clearly suffering with Parkinson's. But he runs it, and he lights it. Unbelievable.
Well, that's good.
Good moment.
I'm sure there's a clip of that somewhere. I ought to watch that.
Oh, yeah. I think even the announcers got quiet on that one.
Well, I mean, you know, he was like, I don't know. I don't know if idol's the right word.
Well, it's just of all the things that he went through his life and his tortured history with the Olympics, that moment was a significant moment.
Well, yeah, I mean, I can see that. I mean, you know, I'm sure the awareness for Parkinson's went up. You know, that's always good.
And there, you know, that was the year of the Olympic Park bombing.
No, I knew nothing about that.
Yeah. Accused a guy who didn't do it. Ruined his life.
Why?
I don't know. The government works that way.
That's nice.
You know this whole thing about Bill and Hillary testifying to the House Judiciary Committee, or Oversight Committee. It's a very interesting story. I've heard people talk about it. Some people are with him and some people are not.
I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of torn. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, in theory, the House Oversight Committee calls you, I mean, or subpoenas.
Well, they
you.
Could face consequences. Well, I mean, yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, you're legally obligated to show up.
But it is my understanding that they did sign affidavits, and their lawyers have been working with the Oversight Committee, and they have answered questions. So now I'm starting to think it's a show.
Well, I think they probably don't want to be arrested.
No, I'm just saying they did that all before they were subpoenaed.
Oh, well. Well, I mean, apparently now they don't want to go.
Well, I think that's why they did all that. See, I'm starting to wonder if you have the questions answered that you wanted and you have signed affidavits, why do you want them there?
Well, I mean, I think there's I don't know who's all been called in, but I mean, there's been people called in. I mean, but I think that if you're going to go calling in people just because they appear often in the files, I mean, you got to call in a lot of people.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is if you're a former president or a former secretary of state, it's a little different. You know there's going to be a higher level of scrutiny on you.
What about Donald Trump, though?
Well, I don't think anybody's called him.
Donald Trump is the current president, and his names are all over the files.
What, do you think they're going to call him?
No.
Okay, well, there you go. That's probably the problem that the Clintons are having.
But they could call him.
What do people really think the Clintons did? I mean, honestly.
Well, either assisted or partook, I guess.
Right, but you don't think we'd have found that out by now? I mean, you don't have to. You think they're going to tell you?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, the only two people that we know who were involved were Epstein and Maxwell. But apparently, there were like 10 co-conspirators.
Yeah, but what I'm saying
is,
we never found out any of those people. If we're talking about testifying, you think Bill and Hillary are going to get up there and say, oh, yeah?
Well, I mean, I think that even if you're, I mean, I think it goes without saying that a guilty person is most likely going to get up there and lie through their teeth.
So what's the point? Again, it's a show.
I mean, it just tends to be how it works. I mean, even if they're up there telling the truth, there are definitely going to be people who will just automatically assume they're not telling the truth. They're lying.
So how are you feeling about the the gubernatorial election?
Real fast, before I answer that. I'm not a big fan of how the oversight committees and things like that work, because you get, like, I don't know, like 90 seconds or something to respond to the questions they ask, and they ask these long-winded questions that...
Well, that's why it's a show.
Like, I don't have time to answer everything you asked me.
And that's the point. They're really making statements. 740-383-9944.
What's even the point of
it? Exactly. I think it's how the Clintons feel. So... the gubernatorial race. I feel we should check in on this every so often.
Well, I mean, I feel the same way I felt about it the last few days. I mean, nothing's really changed. I mean, you know, they got lieutenant governors now, but they've had those the last few days. I mean, I think they both made good choices. I mean, to my understanding, David Pepper was a good head of the Democratic Party, and he's a good fundraiser, knows where the, as you like to say, knows where the bodies are buried. That kind of thing. So he's definitely got some sway within the party. And I mean, Rob McCauley, Senate leader, something along those lines, either way. He's got a lot of experience. I don't know how much experience, but he's got experience. Mike DeWine hasn't endorsed Vivek Ramaswamy. I think that bodes well for Vivek, I guess. I mean, it can't hurt. I think Vivek made a good choice with McCauley.
But where are you on the thing?
What do you mean? Like, who?
Well, it's just interesting to me because you say there's one you definitely will not vote for.
Yeah.
And then there's one you don't particularly like.
Yep.
So, you know, here we are.
I could just abstain from the ballot.
No, I'm not. I don't care who you vote for. All I'm saying is it's interesting. Clearly, there's one that's more preferable. Because one, you have absolutely no chance of voting for.
I just don't trust Vivek. I mean, he's, you know, it would seem to me that he's a Trump shill, and that's not really, it's not really my thing.
And Amy Acton?
Well, she's not a Trump shill. I'll give her that.
I think it's going to be interesting as the year goes along. And that's one to watch.
I think it'll be a close race.
That's good. That's what you want.
I'm interested to see what the voter turnout's going to be.
I think because there's a Senate race high.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, you know, it's two firsts.
I don't know if either one of them inspires people, though. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
You got to have a candidate that inspires you to want to vote. And I'm not sure if either one of these people inspire people to vote.
Well, I mean, Vivek Ramaswamy, I mean, he likes to talk. So, I mean,
he likes to talk.
He likes to talk. I mean, I'm sure he's going to go around doing whatever he's doing. He's going to give like press conferences and things. He likes to talk. Amy Acton does not quite like to talk. But to my understanding, David Pepper does like to talk.
Yeah, I think so.
So I think that'll be good, I guess.
Well, I've been happy to have the two of them on. So, you know, whoever the next governor is, they've been on.
Both nice people. I guess I never met either of them in person, but they seem nice enough.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I don't have a problem with either one of them.
Yep.
They've both been on my show.
That's what matters.
That's it. That's it. Because once you do that, you know, you've done it. First tier.
I think that'll be...
I can't think of anybody who hasn't come on.
As far as...
That I've really thought should have.
Like candidates?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think of any, like, statewide candidates of, like Sherrod Brown, John Huston.
Sherrod Brown's been on.
Yeah, but not for this race.
I don't think I've asked him.
Oh, well, that'll do it, I guess.
Well, yeah, like I say, it's what's interesting to you at the time. To me, the governor's race is more interesting right now.
Well, yeah, I guess. I haven't heard anything about the Husted.
Sherrod Brown used to be on a lot because he was at one point thought of to be Hillary Clinton's running mate.
Like for vice president?
Yeah. So I had many conversations with him about that.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so I like Sherrod Brown. Sherrod Brown was also... There was a time when he was more accessible. Jim Jordan was more accessible at one point. You used to have Jim Jordan on quite a bit.
Well, yeah, but Jim Jordan's got some things going on.
Yeah, but I think they became less accessible as the media got more polarized. You know, I think they felt that media appearances were doing them damage instead of good. But we're done. You're coming up next, right?
Time moves right along.
Football and politics. We're done for tonight. Be back next week. Matt's up next. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
A rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought, Mama, I wanted to end.